You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. And welcome back. Welcome to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. Hi, everybody. I'm John Rabin, and I am stuck inside during a winter storm. Well, there was a winter storm. It's like a high of 20 degrees outside in Austin, Texas, which is weird. A low of, I don't know, what was the low going to be? It's going to be like a low of 2 or 4, or a low in single digits tonight. And I'm not stuck inside. I choose to be here. There are people, I've seen them. There are people out there trying to drive. Which is, I don't know if you know this about Central Texas, but we don't have snow tires. We don't have an infrastructure designed for this kind of weather. We don't have people who know how to drive at all. But also in this weather, they can barely drive normally. I've seen people freak out when it's raining. They're just dangerous to be around. So there's not that you should drive around. There's nothing open that I'm aware of. I'm sure somebody's open like, nah, fuck it. We're going to be open. But, you know, yeehaw or whatever they do. But I can tell you that the convenience store in my neighborhood, I've been here for several years. That convenience store is closed today. It's never been closed. It's open every day. It's open every morning. They didn't close on the first day of the pandemic. They don't close Christmas morning. It's always open. Today, it was closed. That's how serious that shit is out there. It's crazy. People actually, you know, I went out there, stomped around in the snow. It was fun, I guess. I'm just sitting there going, this shit gets everywhere. It's all over me. Just things that you don't experience regionally that other people in the country and in the world who are listening to this, they're just going, yeah, 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 that's the way it is. But, you know, this is our... We're tourists. We're tourists in a snowstorm. And the sun's out, which it's blinding. All reflecting off the snow and shit. It's a kind of a bizarre world kind of a day. I'll say that. But I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad you've chosen to let me distract you for 30 minutes. I hope that you're doing well. If you're a sober person, I hope you're staying sober. If you're not a sober person, I hope you're staying sane. It's a strange year. It's a strange week. It's a strange day. And there are these things called, I think they're called audiograms, which is an audio clip of your podcast that gets posted on on Instagram. And then it's got the squiggly line that signifies to the person scrolling through Instagram, oh, there's audio being playing. Look, you can see the line moving. Somebody's speaking. Maybe I should turn the sound on. But a lot of people don't turn the sound on. So they actually have the subtitles going on in there so that people can stop scrolling and go, oh, and then it's supposed to promote your podcast by people listening to it. And watching the little Instagram post and go, oh, I've disregarded their podcast this whole time. But now that I'm seeing it, the squiggly line, I will totally go on my app for which I use podcasts and look up this person who I've known for years and said that I was a listener, but I've never listened. But now I'm going to because he or she posted on the gram with a squiggly line using an app. Anyway, I'm gonna do that. actually going to use it. We'll see. We'll see if it works. Maybe I'll use that clip I just said. Actually, I totally see me doing that, really, to be honest. So there's this documentary. It's a New York Times Presents documentary for Hulu about Britney Spears. And to which a lot of people are watching and talking about online and so forth. I have not seen that documentary officially. I've technically not watched it. I have listened to it in an adjacent room from my wife who watched it. I've also casually listened to a couple of podcasts that she's listened to about Britney Spears and the situation that she's in. So I kind of consider myself an expert now. That's not true, but I do want to bring something up that bothers me and has nothing to do with Britney Spears. Although, you know, about whether I think that, the Free Britney Spears movement and all that, whatever, that people are talking about. I don't care, obviously, clearly. But the thing that bugs me is the reaction of people online about it who are posting and just different, and I've seen fake news articles, because there's websites like BuzzFeed and different places that are like, they, you know, in order to get paid, they have to post something. So the entire news article, he said in quotations, is actually just quotes pulled from tweets, which is hilarious to me that tweets make news, or that the news is based on a tweet they read. Which, man, that's some investigative journalism, isn't it? Launching an app and scrolling. I did my research. Scroll. I followed the right people. I'm tracking down leads. I am the new reporter. 2021. Here's what I find kind of funny. Are people are looking at like old interviews and all the things going on. And my cat's meowing at me. Shut up, kitty. So they're looking at all these interviews, and they're looking at all the stuff, you know, that people, you know, I can't believe that people made fun of her. I can't believe that people did that. Make fun of her mental health. I can't believe they did that. And I'm not opposed to that. I agree that it was fucked up. But it was only 13 years ago. They're talking about it like it was a completely different era. Like these baby boomers are, you know, I can't believe the greatest generation did this. No, it was 13 years ago. So they're all like, oh, they treated Britney so badly. No. We treated Britney so badly. Don't act like you weren't laughing 13 years ago. There were only two categories of people. There were people that were laughing at her, and then there were fans of hers. So you were either a prepubescent Britney's fan who had no taste and really didn't know anything, or you were making fun of her. You were going, ha, 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 she shaved her head. Anyway, and that goes for everybody except Craig Ferguson. And if you haven't seen that clip, it's a fucking great clip. That kind of went viral. There's a great clip about when Craig Ferguson had the Late Late Show, and he wouldn't tell jokes, and he talked about his alcoholism and talked about recovery. And it's actually fucking fantastic. I recommend giving it a listen. And it's funny because he's trying to talk serious and the crowd's laughing. And that's everybody. We were all doing that. So unless you're Craig Ferguson, you got to take personal responsibility. That's what kills me. That's what kills me about this shit, is that there are people giving, you know, they're trying to do that for other people. Like, there's a something about they're giving Letterman shit for an interview with Lindsay Lohan, which I haven't watched, but you know, they're trying to, it's time to save Lindsay Lohan. Well, no, it's people need to everybody needs to take personal responsibility is what I'm saying. It's like being all judgy about somebody making fun of a celebrity and self-destruction, especially that Lindsay Lohan shit was 7 years ago. Now, I know for a fact you weren't a teenager then. You know, it's like, oh, that's disgusting. You were doing that 7 years ago, you short-term memory asshole. That's what take responsibility. Know that you were fucked up too. We all were. We all thought it was hilarious. In retrospect, it is a bad look. It isn't great. We probably should have taken it seriously and gone, man, I hope she gets help. Like actual help. So that's the thing that bothered me the most is, you know, is people get really, really judgy about things that they reflect back on. And I'm like, look, you were there. So we're not talking about WW2 here. You know, it's like you were also self-centered and vapid and lacking empathy. We all were. Include yourself in the disbelief. So I can't believe that we. Right? Come on now. It's okay. You can be in the wrong too. We're all in the wrong here. Speaking of in the wrong, the one thing I really do resent Britney Spears for is the fact that I know who Kevin Federline is. I shouldn't. None of us should. We shouldn't know who that is. So that's on her. She needs to take responsibility for the fact that she inflicted him on the world. And that's just not right. Oh, I just thought of this. It's a little late now, but for those of my local listeners, or basically, so anybody who is panic buying at the grocery store before a major storm, all right? Because this happened on Saturday. Our winter storm hit Sunday. It got like really, you know, it was really, really cold and there was ice and stuff, sure, on Sunday. During the day, but it really hit late Sunday evening. But I had to go to the grocery store on Saturday. Turns out, so did a lot of people. And they were panic buying. They were buying food like it was going to be the end of the world. They were buying a bunch of shit. And I'm like, we're going to be stuck inside for 3 days. You don't need that much food for 3 days. It'll be all right. And go back to the grocery store on Wednesday. No? Okay. Yeah. Buy all the water then. Anyway, there was everybody that was there at the grocery store. Our chain here in Central Texas in Austin is called HEB, and it's a great organization. Great grocery store. Kroger can suck it. That's what I'm saying. Albertsons, fuck you, Albertsons. Like, just come on. Every other place sucks. So everybody was everywhere. And I noticed, because I had a list of about 15, 20 items. And then I noticed the checkout line. The carts, there was the checkouts, the registers, right? Checkout line went down one aisle. Went down the middle aisles because it split. Like the grocery store is split like right down the middle, like the main highway. And then there's aisles on either side. So the line goes through one aisle, goes all the way down the main highway of the grocery store, then wraps around in the dairy section. In the frozen section, and then starts wrapping around through the back of the store. Unbelievable long line. And I looked at it, and then I looked at the section of the self-checkout section, which is 10 items or less. Because all the registers are either, you know, everything you got or 15 items or less. And then the self-checkout is 10 items or less. And at the self-checkout section, there is no line. So I bought 10 items. Actually, I bought 11 items because they don't count. They just kind of glance at you. And if it looks like about 10, you're fine. I don't know if they've ever told anybody, I'm sorry, sir, that's... Are you checking out 20 items in here? Did you not read? You gonna stop me, bitch? Like, I don't know if they do that. I don't know. I've never had to do that. But yeah, so I had 11 items. I just pretended I couldn't count. And no line. I checked out real fast. Took my items. Life hack, everybody. When it's 30 degrees outside, you can put your groceries, some of them frozen, in the car. And then go back to the grocery store and get your other 10 items. You don't have to wait in a long line that takes a half an hour to check out. You just buy part, go out to the car, leave it in the car, then go back into the grocery store, grab the other items, check out again, self-check out again, and then go back to your car because your groceries are fine. It's 30 outside. It's colder than your fridge. It's cool. I don't know why I was the only one who thought that idea. Maybe there's somebody else. I doubt it because there was a lot of people waiting. I know it's probably, I don't want to walk all that way. Well, I don't like standing in line. So it's one of those things that's what you have to ask yourself. What do you hate more? Waiting in line or walking? So I've got no problem with walking. But there you go. If you're ever in a situation where it's cold outside and an impending doom is coming and you're at the grocery store, fucking buy half your items, check out, put them in your car, go back, buy the other half, give the finger to the poor bastards waiting in line. I mean, don't do that, like metaphorically, like in your head. Emotionally give them the finger and be like, fuck you, I figured this out, and then go home. It was personal pride. I was totally like, yeah, I figured this shit out. I'm like, next level grocery shopper right here. I have very few things to brag about. Please give this to me. That's how that went down. Oh, man. Hey, I guess, you know what? I guess I'll do this. Let's focus on recovery or sobriety for a second, shall we? Let's talk about boredom. Man, boredom is a killer. Especially early on when you're sober, newly sober, when you're early in it. And the newness wears off after you've gotten clean or sober. And your brain starts working again and you're like, wow, I feel great. I don't feel like total dog shit. And those first 30 days of sobriety are done. And you're moving into the next 30 days. Or the next 30 days, and it just the pink cloud of feeling great and everything that kind of wears off, and then your brain, it's active all right. Now it's overacting. Now it's just really going all the time. Boredom is the worst because you feel nothing feels as interesting as it did when you were fucked up. That's your perception. You feel like it's just like that's where the thoughts come from. That's where you start getting the thoughts that, man, if only I could make life interesting again. If only I could do those specific drugs I like, or, you know, the booze. I wish I could go to the bar and get drunk again. Or even in like the pandemic, even if like. even if you have a limited places to go, it's still like, man, I wish I could just kill the boredom that I'm experiencing in my apartment. Man, I need to deaden this shit, which is why I feel a lot of people, and we know this, we know this for to be true, that a lot of people are struggling with drinking way more than they normally do because they're stuck inside and they're fucking bored. And streaming services aren't enough. So how do you deal with that? I don't know. Here's the other thing about... So that's like short-term, like early on's bad because, you know, you really start doubting yourself and start thinking about using again. Which is super dangerous because you don't have the tolerance for the drugs that you used to do. So when people relapse, that's when people die a lot, is when they relapse, when they go back to their hard drug after being clean for 90 days or whatever. You know, their tolerance is way down. And that's when it takes you down. But that's also the doubt comes in because you're bored and your mind's wandering and you're like, man, I really wish I could do something else. But the thing is that boredom comes in like a lot. Like for me, I'm going on, like 8.5 years now, approaching 9. And it still rears its head. And the problem with being bored in my sobriety is that what I experience is not just, ugh, everything's so boring. It also has to do with a lack of any kind of motivation to destroy that boredom. Like you don't, so it's like, ugh, I'm bored. Hey, well, why don't we do this? No, I don't want to do that. So you've got an absolute lack of interest in anything, and also you're bored. And it's kind of this perpetual feeling. I get this a lot. It's just it comes in. And I wish I could tell you that there was some kind of exercise that I do. I wish there was some kind of thing that how do I deal with it? Well, it's... Honestly, I think the biggest thing is awareness. Being aware of my surroundings and aware of my thought process and what's going on with me. It's like that's really important because once you're aware of what you're doing, once you're aware that you're feeling the way that you're feeling, that's easy to not be broadsided by desires to do drugs or drink. You know, if only I went back to that, you know, I could probably do it now. I could probably totally do it now. So the idea of being aware of your thoughts and aware of your situation at least puts you in a position to where you can go be ready for it and go, oh, here we are. I've been here before. All right. I know I don't want to work out, but I'm going to go work out now because I know what's going on. I know this is temporary. I know what I'm feeling right now, I'm not going to feel like for the rest of my life. This is only in the moment that it's fucking with me. So if I go do that fucking stupid workout for my abs, my abs and chest workouts, two different workouts, or maybe I'll do, is it leg day? Fuck you, leg day. Like, no, you know what? Not fuck you, leg day. I guess it's more important to do stupid leg day than it is to dwell on this shit that I'm dwelling on because I'm bored again. So we're going to do legs. Yeah, I know we hate legs. Shut up. We're going to do legs and we're going to do all of it. And we're just going to, and then we'll deal with this boredom shit when we're done doing legs. Or I'm going to go do that thing that I need to do. Uh-oh, gotta go organize tax shit. Dishes. Fuck! Man, I'm really heavy on the expletives this episode. I don't know. I'm excited. What can I say? Anyway, but yeah, but once you do that, it's not a surefire solution, but it's a pretty good one for me. Once I get going in something else, then I'm not dwelling on being bored. It's not as crippling and as broadsiding as it is if you're not doing anything and you're just sitting there overthinking what's going on. So it's just one of those. This is where also a lot of people like meetings, because when they're feeling bored and they're getting the thoughts, they're like, oh, this is bad. Oh, this is bugging me. I got to get to a meeting. So they go to a meeting. And that way they can hear other people. It helps them and reminds them that addiction's going to fuck them up again. Reminds them of where they've been. Kind of renews their determination and their drive. And then they're like, yeah, I'm really glad I went to that meeting. And I know that confuses some people because they're like, man, I hate those meetings. Well, maybe they're not for you. But this is why meetings work for a lot of people, is because when they're dealing with boredom and we're dealing with the temptation because their brain is working overtime, because they find being bored that unbearable. And the restlessness that's connected with being, you know, bored is just like that restlessness. It's just like, ugh, I'm anxious. I'm moving around. I can't settle down. I don't want to watch another YouTube video. Like, what the fuck? So that's where meetings help a lot of people. For me, since I don't like meetings, I don't go to meetings. I tend to watch lectures of like different, or talks with different people. Like actually today I listened to Craig Ferguson on a couple of podcasts talk about his recovery and what he has dealt with. And you know what? And that works for me. I like, I don't have to have the interaction in the personal spot in a community. I can actually listen to a person talk about it, or listen to like Alan Watts or different talking about Zen and talk about thoughts. I can do that, and it at least, because I can focus on them and I'm no longer dwelling on doing nothing and just sitting there thinking about my own brain and thinking about my own situation and going, I miss how I used to be. Because you're thinking, you know, because I'll be thinking about just aspects of reality in the past and not the actual past. That's another reason to be aware and to really look at it, you know, for, you know, without the rose tinted glasses, like you actually look at how it was, like, oh, remember all the arrests and the car crashes and the, you know, destruction, all the money that you paid your lawyer, all the money that you paid fucking Travis County probation. Remember that? Oh, I remember that. All it takes is just a little, hey, remember probation costs and jail? Oh, yes, yes. Good point, brain. So it's a nice way of getting back to where you need to be. But, yeah, even now, it's been 8.5 years. Boredom is still there. I hate being bored, but sometimes it's just like, you're just like, ugh, here we are again. And you got to come up with something. You got to do something. You know, it's in that, but that's always been the thing for me is, you know, when I'm bored, how do I find the motivation to do something so that I'm not dwelling on being bored? That's the kicker. And that's the key. But, yeah, I hadn't talked about that on one of these episodes. Thought I'd bring it up. If you live in my area, be safe out there. Actually, there, you know, I think winter storm is rocking a large section of the country. So, just be safe. Be healthy, look after yourselves, and look after the people you care about. And we'll see you next week. This has been the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. I'm John Raven. Later.
Bad thorn that pierces skin. Come back down to earth again. The cold is creeping deep inside. Disconnect the telephone.